Title: Above the Federal Floor, How States Are Regulating Compounded GLP-1s and Peptides. Content: In our recent update on peptide regulation, we noted that the FDA is only one layer of the compliance picture. For any company with exposure to multi-state compounding or telehealth operations, whether as an operator, a brand manufacturer monitoring the competitive landscape, or an investor, a jurisdiction-by-jurisdiction breakdown of state requirements is essential. This post maps how states are currently regulating the compounding of GLP-1 receptor agonists, semaglutide and tirzepatide chief among them, along with the broader class of peptides now drawing federal and state attention, and offers practical cross-jurisdictional risk insights. 1. States generally do not set their own substantive baseline for what may lawfully be compounded. That eligibility baseline is fixed federally, chiefly by Sections 503A and 503B of the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act, FDNC Act, and that baseline is largely uniform across the country. Where states diverge, and diverge sharply, is in how aggressively they enforce and what sourcing and quality conditions they impose on top of the federal baseline. For a multi-state operator, that distinction is the difference between a defensible program and a false sense of security. Two federal tracks moving in opposite directions before turning to the states, it is important to distinguish between two federal developments moving in opposite directions, one for peptides generally, and the other for GLP-1s, which are also peptides, specifically. The first is the peptide track, where the current administration has been loosening restrictions imposed by the prior administration. In 2023, the FDA placed a group of popular peptides into Category 2 of the Interim 503A Bulk Substances Scheme, effectively barring their compounding on safety grounds. In April 2026, FDA removed 12 of those peptides from Category 2 and scheduled a Pharmacy Compounding Advisory Committee, PCAC, meetings to consider several of them for inclusion on the 503A Bulks list, Category 1. To be clear, removal from Category 2 does not constitute a federal or state authorization to compound, but the removed peptides were not moved into Category 1. These peptides sit in a regulatory gray zone, no longer explicitly flagged as presenting a significant safety risk, but not affirmatively cleared for compounding either. 2. The second is the GLP-1 track, and restrictions are tightening. The GLP-1 receptor agonists were never on the 503A or 503B bulks lists. Their compounding was permitted only through the drug shortage pathway under Section 503A of the FDNC Act, and that pathway has closed as FDA resolved the tirzepatide and semaglutide shortages. 3. FDA has since reinforced its position through compliance policy guidance on what constitutes compounding, essentially a copy of an FDA-approved drug under Section 503A, B, 2, 4, a proposal to exclude these molecules from the 503B bulks list, and successive waves of dozens of warning letters to compounders and telehealth marketers of compounded GLP-1 products. 5. The upshot is that the substantive federal rules for GLP-1 copies are now reasonably settled and restrictive, while the peptide rules remain in flux. As the state survey below shows, nearly every state that has taken a position has done so with respect to GLP-1 compounding specifically, not the broader peptide category. What the market looks like right now, regulatory pressure has reshaped commercial activity in many ways. Compounders and telehealth platforms are pivoting towards so-called personalized or combination formulations, such as semaglutide paired with vitamin B12 or other additives, and toward non-standard strengths and microdoses, in an effort to distinguish their products from FDA-approved, innovator drug counterparts. However, the FDA has signaled that adding B12 alone is generally insufficient to escape essentially a copy treatment. Other trends include a shift to oral and sublingual dosage forms, aggressive cash pay pricing through telehealth channels, and growing interest in investigational GLP-1s and other peptides as the semaglutide and tirzepatide pathways narrow. Brand manufacturers have responded with enforcement activity of their own. Two large pharmaceutical companies, Lilly and Novo Nordisk, have filed trademark, patent, and false advertising suits across dozens of jurisdictions, and at